Would you turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis at chapter 6? Genesis chapter 6, and as the Lord would enable us, we might consider together verse 18. Reading verse 17, "Behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all earth. Within is the breath of life. From under heaven, everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, thy sons' wives with thee." Noah was living in dark days. The church was in decline. There were few who had any love for the gospel. The godly were dying out. There were few who were zealous for God. Men were becoming devilish. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. What an awful situation to be in. If you love God, and if you want to serve Him and bring up your family for God, all around decline, decay, ungodliness, devilish behavior. Here's God's encouragement to Noah. He's calling him to be faithful. And he gives him encouragement by saying, yes, judgment's going to come. The world is going to perish. But, oh, thank God for all these buts of Scripture. "But with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, thy sons' wives with thee." Oh, there's hope, dear Noah. Be faithful, dear Noah. My covenant, I'm making it with thee. And there's hope there for you and for your family. The word covenant is one of the key words in Scripture. One of the key words of the Bible. Basically, it speaks of the way in which God will relate to human beings. And He has always related to human beings and only will relate to human beings by means of covenant, an agreement between two parties. Scripture speaks of two covenants. There was a covenant of works, or the covenant of life, which was imposed upon Adam in the Garden of Eden while he was without sin. "Do this and thou shalt live. Don't eat of the forbidden fruit. Be faithful to me, be loyal to me, and thou shalt live." Well, we know Adam sinned. And the judgment of the covenant came upon him. "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So Adam, the representative of all mankind, sinned, and we sinned and fell with him in his first transgression. And today you and I, by nature, are under that broken covenant and under its curse. But oh, praise God, no sooner had that happened than we find God announcing another covenant, what we call the covenant of grace. A peace treaty, a way of salvation for fallen sinners. That one would be given, a Savior, who would come and destroy the works of the devil and save sinners. God relates to people through these two covenants. And you're either under the one broken covenant and under this judgment, are under that covenant of grace and of salvation in Christ. You'll notice, here is Noah, and he's being reminded of God's covenant of grace. And it's called My Covenant. You see, here's God revealing the truth. Here's God saying, this is how I am going to relate to you. A covenant is like an agreement. But when you and I put up to buy something, we might go. There might be a house we want to buy. We might offer a certain amount. There might be a bit of haggling, come and go. You come to an agreement. But it's not like that with God. He says, this is the way. I, the sovereign, holy God, your creator, will relate to you. It's my covenant. Here is God saying, here is the way in which there shall be salvation for poor sinners. Here are the promises of salvation. I and my sovereign grace will present to poor sinners and say, be reconciled to God, to me. In this way, here's my peace treaty. Embrace it that you might have peace with me. It's God's covenant. You'll notice it's a gracious covenant. We don't deserve it. As we thought of this morning, the angels that fell into sin are chained in darkness, waiting judgment. There's no hope for them. That's what we deserve. Wonder of wonders. God offers mercy. It calls you and me to trust in Christ. And to embrace that peace treaty, that covenant of grace, that we might know blessing and salvation. And so it's a Christ-centered covenant. He's the Saviour. It's all to do with what God is doing for sinners and will do to sinners because of them. Here is God coming to dwell. As he is told about the devastation of the flood, there's going to be destruction. But with thee will I establish my covenant. Now, this is the first reference to the word covenant in Scripture. But we're not to think that because this is the first place the word appears, that it was not known until that time. God says, I will establish my covenant. I will cause to stand. And it could either mean to establish something, to set up to begin with, to build it, and cause it to be there, or else for it to remain. And that's what we have here. I will establish my covenant. You see, if you read on in Genesis, you find God saying to Abraham in Genesis 17, he's to circumcise his family. And he says, I will establish my covenant between thee and me. Genesis 17, 7. I will be thy God, thou shalt be my people. But God's already given these self-same promises to Abraham on a few occasions before. Genesis 12, Genesis 15. So what he's doing is saying, look, be assured, I will be faithful to my peace treaty and to my covenant. Noah's been told, the promises might seem to be failing. The promise of salvation through a Redeemer may seem to be going all wrong, but look, I will keep my plan, I'll fulfill my covenant, you'll be faithful to me. Well, let's think of this covenant then. God's peace treaty, this covenant of grace, as it's said before us here tonight. And we notice three things. That it contains a reminder of a relationship. And then secondly, we shall notice, it contains a promise of deliverance. And then thirdly, that it contains hope concerning our families. First of all, here was a covenant that contained a reminder of a relationship. But with thee will I establish my covenant. What was God saying to Noah? He was reminding him of a real relationship that existed. You see, God didn't say to everyone, I will establish my covenant with thee. Notice the word but. You get this contrast. There's the world that is perishing, and then you get Noah and his family. The flood, God's judgment, is an indication at most of no living, real relationship with God. Rather, God is against them, and that the deluge is going to only be a foretaste of the deluge of his wrath that they will receive in a lost eternity because of their sin. Oh, what a fearful position to be in. To have no living relationship, no peaceable relationship with God. To be under a broken covenant, a broken agreement. You and I, if someone breaks an agreement with us, we tend to get annoyed. Know how God is displeased with sin, and your sin, as you're in breach of that covenant of works, and you rebel against him. Here are the just deserts of sin. Oh, friend, is it not dangerous to go on? And the outside of friendly terms with God. To have God against you. To have God having a controversy with you. And you might not feel much of the effects now. But the day will come. When you'll appear before the judgment seat, and it will be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God without being at peace with him. Friend, flee from the wrath to come to Christ alone, in whom there is refuge. You see, here is Noah, and he's reminded, God saying, I've got a relationship with you. But with thee, but with you. And here is God saying, there's me and there's you, and we're in a relationship together. I am for you. I am with you. I'm at peace with you. Isn't that wonderful? Have you felt your sin? Have you felt what it is to be without that relationship and God having a controversy against you under the threatening of a broken covenant? Have you felt that Christian, in the pilgrim's progress, with Mount Sinai, with the law of God about to fall upon him and crush him because of his sin? Oh, to be delivered from that. Through Christ. Do you have God? Is your God? Weren't you made for that? To know God, to glorify God, to enjoy Him forever? What is it that causes the emptiness in your life? What is it that causes the dissatisfaction in all the good things? That leaves you empty at the end of the day. It's this. You're living for these things rather than God, the giver of these things. You are made to have God as your God. And that's the promise of the covenant. Genesis 17. I will be your God, Abraham. And you will be mine. In the New Testament, keep apart from sin. And I will be your God, and you shall be my people. In the New Jerusalem in heaven, God shall be their God. Be with them and be their God. What do you need? What does man need? A relationship with God. Without that, life is empty. Life is vain. Life fails to satisfy. fill up our lives with pleasures, with learning, with money, with possessions. Doesn't matter. Doesn't work. Something else is needed. Are you chasing something else? Chasing the wind. You need God as your God. Well, that's what Noah had. And you'll notice there was a real basis for that relationship. Noah's a sinner. Noah's a sinner who needs to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Where there's a covenant of grace center, Jesus Christ. God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses to us. That's how God and man get to be at peace, through the death of Christ, and sin being dealt with in heaven. And here's Noah. He had heard of God's promise that the seed would come, the seed of the woman, who was going to deal with sin and destroy the works of the devil. And no doubt as a youngster, he watched his father offer sacrifices. And when he was old, he offered sacrifices himself on the family altar. What were all these things preaching to him? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Sin deserves judgment, but there is a Saviour who's going to come. What had Noah done? He said, yes, I'm minded to reconcile to God. And the gospel being preached to him and the sacrifices and the promises was saying to him, be reconciled to God through Christ. He said, I love that. I love peace with God through Christ. Friend, are you trusting in this covenant, which gives a real relationship with God, because there's a real basis for the relationship, the problem of sin being taken out of the way, being dealt with properly, so that God may be at peace with you? Because of what Christ did on the cross. Oh, friend, are you going on in rebellion? Are you ignoring God's offers of mercy in the gospel? Don't you realize how dangerous that is? There is no other basis for being at peace with him. You can ignore your sin that is there and God sees it. You can try a works religion as Cain did. That didn't work. That only provoked God to anger. Then you need Christ. And you must close with him. You must sign that peace and agree to its terms and acknowledge what God says about sin is true. Agree. And as he said, look for the salvation in Christ. He said, well, I love that. I turn from sin and I cling to Christ and I will walk in his ways. Have you done that? God's at peace with you if you've done that. But if not, you're a rebel. What happens when a country is offered peace when there's a war and they reject the peace treaty? Well, it ends up the war. If you don't accept the peace treaty, let the judgment that comes be in your head. The death and destruction that comes, it will be upon your head. You're responsible. What a fearful thing to go on. Will you not listen to the gospel and seek that relationship with God that you need? Here's Noah. Remember, you've got this relationship. You're at peace with me through Christ. And there are real blessings that flow from that relationship. You see, Noah, he's going to face mockery. He's going to face trials. It won't be easy for his family as he lives a godly family in an ungodly world. Don't worry, Noah. I'll be with you. I will help you. Dear believer, think of all the promises that are bound up with Christ and his peace treaty, the covenant of grace. Your God is your God. Your God in all his attributes for you. And you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I have no need to fear. The Lord is my shepherd, I will one day be with him forever in glory. What a blessed relationship. But only for those who are in covenant with God. Are you trusting in Christ? Remember the promises of the covenant. Plead them that you might draw the comfort that are found there. Then notice secondly, we find in this covenant a promise of deliverance. For with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark. Noah was being promised deliverance from the flood. At one level that's what's been said. Because there's the promise. There is the statement, thou shalt come into the ark. The ark is going to save Noah and his family. And a certain number of beasts, they'll be preserved, and the rest of the world will perish. And Noah, by faith, believes what God has to say. Warned of God of things not seen as yet, having a flood like this. Perhaps no flood he'd ever seen. He believes. He's delivered. And he condemns the world because of their unbelief. What are God's people promised in the covenant? Deliverance from all the trials and troubles of life. Or deliverance through all the trials and troubles of life. Do you believe in who's sharing all the common experiences and problems of life? But all things are yours. And all things work for your good. Because you're in the covenant. And Christ, who is King and head over all things for his covenant people, ensures that these trials become blessings. What a difference. The trials were hard for those who were without Christ. There were warnings, but they weren't blessed to them. If you're in Christ, all those trials work for your good. What a reason to come to Christ. How foolish. Keep away from him. So they end up with all the difficulties of life. Just add to your problems and woe and are not blessed to you. There's a promise of help. In the middle of the trials of life, where are you looking for relief? When all your problems come, you look to others to help you. You look to your own resources to help yourself. What's Noah being told? Don't look there. Look to me. I will help you. I will strengthen you. You see, the Christian has this blessing. Christ says to him in the covenant, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he will sustain thee. You can't deal with the greatest burden of all, the burden of sin. You can't really cope with the other burdens and trials of life. Stop pretending you can. And see what is offered to you in the gospel. Christ in all his blessedness. You need him. Why do you go on without him? You see, Noah, he trusted, he obeyed. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he received the truth, he believed it, he obeyed, he enjoyed the blessings. And your own unbelief, and your own refusal of the covenant, you keep yourself from the blessings offered. But of course there was other blessings. There was not only deliverance from the flood, there was deliverance from wrath. You see, surely in his covenant, as he's told, thou shalt come into the ark, there's that reminder. The Saviour is going to come. Unless Noah is spared, there is no Saviour for anyone. Noah must be saved. Because through him, the Savior is going to eventually come, who will bring blessings. I will establish my covenant. I'll make sure it will stand. I'll make sure it's fulfilled. Thou therefore shalt come into the ark. The plan to save sinners through the Savior will be fulfilled. Well, same peace that's offered to you in the gospel, promising deliverance through Christ. We are shared in those blessings. You need faith. Can we even say there was a hope that he had of deliverance into the new heavens and earth? Noah, no doubt, knew there was going to be a world that would continue after the earth perished. It was going to be purged, and yet, for all that, man was going to go on in his sin. The day would come when there was a new heavens and new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Isn't that what's promised in the gospel? Not just life now and peace with God now, but peace forevermore at the right hand of God. That's what's offered in the covenant, eternal life. But you see, without Christ, without embracing it, what is that? God's judgment. Eternal death. Not the blessings of heaven and the new heavens and new earth, but the company of devils and the wrath of God and anguish of body and soul forever. Friend, what a blessing if tonight you can see, I've embraced that covenant. I've heard God saying, but with thee, for I establish my covenant. Yes, I'll have that covenant. I'll have that peace treaty. How foolish, how dangerous to go on rejecting it. Or saying, I'll think about it another time. Because now is the day of salvation. And today is the day when he is offering you that peace. Who knows if he'll offer it to you again. But let's notice the third thing. This covenant contained hope concerning his family. Notice here that Noah's family were included in the covenant. That's important to note. But with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, thy sons' wives with thee. Those who are with thee. It is with thee will I establish my covenant. Here, what do we find? There are seven others who are spared with Noah. We go on to chapter 7 and we read, the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. the one who's righteous. Noah is the one who is in covenant with God. And yet there are seven brought into the ark. What's happening? God's dealing with them as a family unit. And that's how God works. He works through families. He deals with us in families. Isn't that one reason why the devil is so active today, trying to undermine family life? Because he knows God works through families. He wants to destroy families and try and get rid of the very concept of a normal, natural family. Because he wants to seek to undermine the gospel and to destroy souls. Here's God. And you see, he deals with Noah and his family for Noah's sake. We don't know if Mrs. Noah was a godly-minded woman. We don't know if Ham, Shem, and Japheth, of their wives, were spiritually minded. What we do know is that Noah was righteous before God in his generation. Yet what do we find? The whole family unit is included. You see, Scripture's preparing us for Genesis 17. God making his covenant not just with Abraham, but with his seed. And therefore his family and his household are circumcised. It's preparing us even for the New Testament. For the promise of salvation is to you and your children. That's why your children are holy. You see, throughout Scripture, our families are included in the covenant. What does that mean? It means that Noah's family is within the sphere of the blessings of blessing through the covenant. What does that mean? Well, we're not to think that a family connection will save sinners. That's obviously not right. You need personal faith. The faith of your father, your grandfather, their godliness will not save you, friend. You need a personal interest in Christ. They are not all Israel who are all Israel. You can be circumcised, said Paul. But your very unbelief and ungodliness makes you like an uncircumcised person outside of the church. The family connection will not save you. But you're brought into the sphere of blessing. And you've got privileges, and here are those eight, and are going to be in the ark. What does that mean? Well, it means this. It's a rich privilege to be brought up within the church of God and within a godly family, to be brought up for God. And God says, I will be God to you and to your children. Bring up your children for me. What a blessing to be brought up, not to hate God, the way many hate God today, because they're brought up to hate him, but to be brought up to love him and to know the gospel. And to trust him and to walk in his ways. God says to our family, I will save you as you trust me. And as you keep covenant, as you're loyal to me, as you go on in my ways. Wasn't that a comfort to Noah? Noah's concerned about his family. What's to become of them as they're building this ark? Are they going to be spared? Will they remain faithful? Well, God's saying, I am faithful to my promises. I'll be God to you and to your children after you. And he's going to have promise to plead. God, you've said that. Keep them safe. Draw them to yourself. Help them to trust in the Messiah. Make them believers who walk in thy ways. Thou art faithful. Oh, fulfill thy promise. Pour out thy spirit upon our seed, thy blessing upon our offspring. Isn't that one of the reasons why we baptize our children? The children of the covenant. And when they are baptized, it's not that we are professing our faith, though that's involved. It's a reminder God is faithful to his promises, and it's an encouragement to us to look to God to work in their hearts, to draw them to himself. We live in an ungodly age. Are you concerned for your children? What's to become of them? Remember the promises of the covenant. Plead them and ask God to work in your children and in your children's children's hearts. Remind them he's the God of the covenant. Lord, save them for Jesus' sake. Fulfill that promise to be my God and my children's God. Help them to trust in me. Isn't this a wonderful truth? Isn't this a comfort when a child dies in infancy? Or you've got a child that is disabled and unable to exercise faith. What hope is there then? Well, the world will get no hope. But the person who understands God's covenant has got hope. That as God has said, I will be God to thee and to thy children after. What did David say when Bathsheba's child died? He will not come unto me, but I will go to him. He knew he would meet him again in glory. There's comfort there. There are many who have lost children when they're young. And as they worry, what's happened to them? They're not really that age when really they were able to exercise faith, where they were responsible. Or they weren't able to exercise faith because of their mental incapacity. What's to become of them? I am God to thee and your children after thee. What a comfort that is in the covenant. But it's not also a word of encouragement to Noah. Noah is living in wicked days. Noah, you've to bring up your family in wicked days. It's not going to be easy. But bring them up for me. Oh, be bold in their upbringing. Bring them up for me. Command them to walk in my ways. Train them up in the scriptures which are able to make them wise unto salvation. Noah, do that for me. Isn't that what you and I are to do? To boldly bring them up for God. And we're not left to ourselves. God says, I will be your God and your children's God. Perhaps you're here tonight and you're a believer and you're lamenting the fact that your children show no sign of interest in the gospel. Well, isn't there still comfort for you in God's covenant? Remember David at the end of his days, he surveys his family. It's a bit of a mess. He's partly brought it upon himself because of various sins. But it still must have been hard for him. And he knows that his house isn't the way he would want it to be with God. But what does he see? Yet is he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And this is all my salvation and all my desire. Though he isn't making my house to grow as I would want. What a comfort. God is faithful. He'll fulfill his promises. The gospel is true. The gospel promises continue. these children may yet be brought to the Saviour. So continue to press upon them the responsibilities. You're here tonight, you've been baptised, you're without Christ. It's your duty to come to Christ. You were engaged to be the Lord's. Trust in Him. Because your baptism will be like a millstone round your neck which will drag you down to hell. The lowest hell, if you go on in unbelief, one who was to be the Lord's. You're like someone who's been at war with someone, and the peace treaty has been there, it's been accepted. And then you're just going, you can rip it off, chuck it away. That's what you're doing. That's solemn. That's serious. What happens when people do that? You end up with war again, you end up with problems. Friend, do not do that. Make sure that tonight you're embracing that peace treaty. You're making it your own. You're not content till God says to you, I am God to you, and your children after you. And that promise belongs to those who hear him saying, be reconciled to God through Christ, and say, yes, I'll have it. I agree with that. Nothing else will do. The rebellion's over. I will live for thee, looking only to Christ to be my Redeemer. And friend, then you'll live, and then you'll have peace, and then you'll have contentment, then you'll have hope, then you'll have God as your God. Isn't it madness not to agree, not to come? Then come tonight, because today is the day of salvation. And all that it would be the day of your salvation, then it would be the best day of your life.